Hey, what's up, beautiful people? Welcome to another episode of Get Close. I'm Gio.
And I'm Bart.
Mia's looking at us like, the fuck?
What if they're actually just saying my name?
Oh, there's so many things named Bart.
Yeah, Bay Area Transit.
There's that one, and there's like Bart's like systems, and there's Bart's like town. And I'm like, there's no Giovanna's, there's no Gio's. I went to Italy. I didn't see much of that.
They want cool stuff.
Or just easy shit, huh?
Or the St. Bartholomew's?
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's not that many Louis Vuittons and Gucci's. Like, I get it. You know? Giovanna's.
There's a lot of Louis Vuitton.
Everyone belongs there.
Everyone owns a Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, but they're very unique.
Okay, what are you trying to say?
I don't know. I'm just trying to, like, beat you at your bullshit.
Well, you can't.
I know you're full of it. I get it.
See?
You win.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding. So, recently I asked Instagram, what are some topics you might want us to talk about?
Yeah.
And one of them I thought was pretty good, because I remember, like, you know, no one is built confident or born confident, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so one of the questions was, like, how do you build your own belief? How do you build your own confidence? And, like, when do you know you have it? Like, how did that all come about?
So that was the question?
Yeah.
I think you're actually super qualified to answer that. I feel like you're someone that has always believed in yourself when no one else did. And like, I'm someone that either put on this facade or just knew I was confident for that thing that I was being tested in. And I had to learn how to build my own personal confidence within myself, because I think I functioned as someone that had a huge chip on her shoulder.
Yeah.
So I had to constantly, I felt, at least obviously, right? Like, I put myself in this light, like this judgment that people were placing me on that they probably weren't, that I'm like, I have to like rise to the occasion every single fucking time so that people know.
Why do you think people were judging you? Or like, why did you perceive it like that?
Because I had the chip on the shoulder. Where?
Where do you think the chip came from?
I think it came from my upbringing. I think it came from me being a middle child and like constantly having to prove my worth. And that sounds really fucked up, and it really wasn't like that, but kind of. Like,
I don't think it's a conscious thing. It's probably subconscious.
Yes. Yeah. I wasn't the firstborn, right? Like, I'm not the oldest, nor am I the first male, and I'm not the youngest. So my oldest sister is the oldest of the four. Then next to her is my brother, who's the only male. And in a Hispanic household, like, the male is, like, what they seek, because that's going to carry the lineage, the family name, blah, blah, blah. Then you have the baby that everyone takes care of because they're the baby, you know? And then the middle child is usually the one that, like, is kind of overlooked a little bit.
Would you say the middle child and middle children are kind of the same? So whether you have 3 to 7, they're all middle children?
I don't know. 7 sounds pretty gnarly. I don't know how that works. I don't know how those dynamics work.
Is it always the oldest and the youngest? And then so regardless if it's 3 or 5, you know, these are the middle children?
Possibly. I don't know how it works the more children you have, but I feel like the oldest to the youngest are polar opposites.
Yeah, they have special...
Right? Because the oldest is the one that gets the younger parents, the drilling constantly. Then the next one comes and the first one's helping raise the second one. And then when it comes to the youngest one, the parents are usually more experienced, not as like, not involved, but they've loosened up a little bit. Yeah. Like if the pacifier falls on the floor, like if it was your first kid, you don't know.
It's like this.
Yeah. You know, like we're trying to disinfect everything. But then with the baby now, we're just like, it's okay. Like they're built tough.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's like. I just know for myself, I started realizing how I was functioning and it got me far, you know, operating with this chip on my shoulder, because I was constantly trying to prove my worth and trying to prove why I deserve to be in the room, whichever room I was in or in that position. And then the older and the more mature I got, I was able to realize that that wasn't necessarily like the best way to function, just because when I don't rise up to the occasion, so much is tied to that identity that I'm like, fuck, I really failed. Like I would get really down on myself because I felt like I disappointed so many people.
When was a time where you got down on yourself?
A lot. All my 20s.
Like when though? Like, well, give me an instance. Like what was an occasion you had to rise up to and that you're like, fuck, I fell short?
Whenever I was put like in a leadership position, I felt like.
Yeah, give me a specific one.
I don't know. This was like so long ago. Let's say I was. Oh, okay. Something as simple as like me producing a show, right? Like I'm not given any real outlines. Like no one really told me these are your guidelines. This is the parameters you work in. It was just me pitching an idea and then people going like, okay, yeah, that works. Let's do that. And then if it doesn't come out, like if the numbers come back and it wasn't what I wanted it to be, then I'm like, holy fuck, I'm a fucking idiot. I should get fired. I'm the worst. I didn't live up to my potential. Like I let my whole team down. Like, holy shit, they're going to see I'm such a fucking loser. I'm not as qualified, you know? Like, I felt like I felt like a phony.
And how do you feel now about that?
Now the same way? Now it's different because I've matured, right? Like, now me putting so much on other people to get my validation just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't – it just – that's when I knew I was maturing because I'm like, that's not fair to the other person to put so much on them to like give me feedback about myself.
Do you feel like there is ever a time where that's necessary?
Yes.
Because you know, when you're like three, I don't know if you're going to be like, I don't need validation from others. It's all about myself.
Yeah. But I think the way I did it was not as, it wasn't healthy. Like there's always a time and place, right? Like you can be the most confident person in the world, but if you're not seeking out others for information or humbling yourself to learn from other people, then you're just an arrogant bastard that's going to end up by themselves.
Yeah.
Right? Like it takes, you're not an island. You can't function by yourself. You need to learn how to collaborate and know when it is your role to like step up to the plate or go, hey, you know what? This is out of my field of expertise. I need to step back and I need to let other people kind of steer the ship here.
Yeah.
But the way I was operating before, it was, I know it all. Like I need to like hold my own. I can't ask for help because I should know what the hell's going on. And it's just putting so much, it's putting, like it kind of would put myself down. Like I didn't have, it seemed like I didn't have like full grasp of who I was and what my abilities were. And I would wait for other people to tell me like, dude, you're badass in this. And I'd be like, oh yeah, am I? Oh, cool. Thank you. I didn't know that. You know, where now I'm going, hey, I'm actually pretty cool in this. You know, like, I think I'm all right in it.
What changed?
I think I just kept getting hurt. I kept getting sad when things wouldn't turn out how I expected them to, which is normal, which I think things don't necessarily always turn out the way you plan it, because it can't. You can't predict the future. But then when it wouldn't come out how I wanted it to come out, then I would get down and I'm like, wait, this is not a cool feeling. I don't like feeling like this. I don't like putting this on, even as something as simple like as our relationship, right? Like if I felt I wasn't living up to the partner that I felt that you needed me to be, then I felt like I was doing you a disservice.
That's interesting.
Why?
Because I've been listening the whole time and I'm like, I don't think I've ever experienced any of what you've experienced.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said I think this topic is really going to be big for you.
Well, for me, it's always been like, I know what A through F is.
What does that mean?
For everything.
What does that mean?
A, B, C, D, F.
I know, you motherfucker. I know the alphabets, like, but how does
A,
that?
A, B, C.
I'm going to kick you in the face.
like, you know, A is for apples and B is for oranges. And C is for carrots. And D is for...
That mic is in such an enticing position right now. All I need to do is extend my leg and connect.
Do you understand grades?
I do.
Okay. So as a kid, I felt like I just knew the scale for everything. Like if the teacher said, this is the project, I would go, okay, in my brain, I know what an A looks like, what an F looks like. Or if I'm supposed to do this, I know what Kung Fu A through F looks like. Or if my mom made food... I'm like, oh, I know what an A pizza looks like and should taste like. And I know what an F one should look like and taste like. I just felt like I just knew. So when I did something, as soon as I was done, like, okay, I'm done. I looked at it. I can go, I'm probably going to get a C on this. Or I'm going to get an A. So it's always been unattached. It's not like, here, can you grade it? And then they grade it. I go, oh, man. The oh, man already happened with me. Because I would look at something. I'm like, shit, this is a fucking F. And then if I turn it in, I'll just be like, it's not like I don't need someone to grade it. I can just tell, like, almost every second of my life, I can tell if I'm doing good or bad.
Yeah, I think you just didn't grow up. I mean, obviously, I think this comes from my upbringing where I was just constantly bullied and everything I did was stupid or retarded. Like, that, those are my names when I grew up.
I see.
And I'm not trying to be like, oh, baby, oh, like it did what it had to do, right? Yeah, like, I love where I'm at now.
So maybe because of that, your scale's fucked. Maybe there's super times you thought it was an A, but 10 people clown on you. So like, super, you're like, fuck, fucked. My A is actually maybe an F.
Super fucked.
I see.
It's super, super fucked because I shouldn't be seeking outside validation, right?
Yeah.
At least from everybody. I think it's okay to seek validation from an expert or someone you look up to. But when you're constantly being talked down to, and like, no one would ever call me by my, not my parents, but like, no one would ever call me by my name. It was always like, hey, you retard, or hey, you dumbass, or hey, you stupid fuck. Like, it was that way.
Yeah.
And after a while, you grow a thick skin, right? And you're just like, okay, these are words. And like, obviously, you give power to these words and it's up to you how it affects you or whatever. But that comes with maturity and that comes with understanding.
Yeah.
But growing up, it's like this roller coaster, right? Because like, as you're leaving being a child, in your childhood to becoming an adolescent to now becoming a teenager to an adult, like, it molds you. You know, and I did look up to my brother and sister and stuff, and I would seek that validation because I loved them so much. I looked up to them so much, but they're the ones that are clowning on me. And I love them and I don't blame them for anything. And they're the best fucking people ever. And we have such a great relationship now. But growing up, I mean, they didn't know any better either. They're also little kids. But like, it really does fuck with you. You know, like, you grow up having a lot of self-doubt. So like, I didn't even know I was operating this way. I would just see myself exceeding in certain spaces and I didn't even really understand why. Isn't that crazy?
Like, what's a space that you exceeded in?
Just in, like, with you guys, right? Like, doing JK, like, we started doing well. Like, I held high level positions because I clearly proved my skill set, right? I proved my value.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't understand.
And you still would be like, I don't know if I'm doing a good job.
100%, you know? Like, I always felt like there was someone else better qualified. I'm like, well, why not that person? Why is it me? Like, I don't think I'm better than that person. Like, I never felt like I was better than anyone else. I was just like, oh, maybe I just have a slight edge, you know? And at any point where, like, they see that this edge is either a facade or they misrepresented the slight edge that I have, then I'm going to easily be replaced.
Damn, that's crazy.
I know. And it wasn't until I
always thought I was better than everyone else.
That's what I'm saying. You had this confidence, you know?
I remember in biology, like, this is even like in ELAC. And this is me, like, spending 5 years in high school. I still thought I was better than everyone else. I was
it's
just like,
the teacher's fault. They don't know how to grade.
I just know I need to apply myself. But I know, like, I'm this LS3 Chevelle.
But you had a mom.
That needs a new paint job. And I just need an oil change. But you just wait. Once you get my fucking internals, I'm going to be 700 horses.
Dude, you had this mom that would beat the shit out of you, right? But the way you tell me that she would speak about you and how, what standards you're supposed to be in, I never had that conversation. I didn't even know that there were levels like that.
I see.
Like, she would speak, like, you were her pride and joy. I didn't have that.
I was raised to be like a medieval prince.
No, that's amazing. Yeah. I didn't have any of that. My parents were too goddamn busy.
Yeah, you walk this way. You sit this way.
Not at all.
You communicate this way.
No, you know? It was more, I had none of that.
Yeah.
There was no like, you need to be a queen of this thing at some point. Right now you're a princess that needs to become a queen. It was just like, we don't have time for you. Just make sure you're doing what your teacher tells you to do. You need to pass. Are you fed? Are you healthy? Cool. That's all I have time for. Like, we got it. We got to keep the shit moving, you know? So I didn't have anyone stroking my ego. Not to say that, I mean, your shit is pretty fucked too. But for me, it was something that I really had to battle. Like, crazy.
When was your first taste of confidence then, where it started, like, the ship started turning around?
So for me, it came in spurts. Like, it was minor spurts. So the most superficial spurt, it came in when I started feeling attractive. Like, that was the most superficial, but it was one of the most confident boosting thing, when everyone was like, wow, you're actually really attractive.
When was that?
College.
Oh
yeah.
So in high school, you thought you were ugly?
For sure. Like, because I wasn't the popular chick. I didn't date the coolest guys, you know? I didn't, like, no one was, like, at least that I knew, no one was, like, oh, we got to, like, get with Gio, right? But it wasn't until I went into college where it was, like, oh, shit, like, damn, who's that girl? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? And I was like, oh shit, superficial as fuck, but it was a confidence boost that I had never felt, because growing up I was, they rag on your appearance, you know, like you're like, I had a gap teeth, and like it's just ragging after ragging after ragging. So it's like you don't think you're anything. So that gives you a boost in some regard.
Yeah.
You know, it allows you to walk into a space and kind of have a straighter, stiffer back.
Yeah.
But again, it's short-lived. It's super superficial. It doesn't go very far. But that was one of the first times I started feeling that. You know, and that was one of the things my mom would emphasize a little bit, was that she's like, oh, like, you know, one of your business cards is always going to be your appearance, you know?
Which is very true, because like in most sales positions, they emphasize looks so much because you almost feel the way you look.
Yeah.
You know, if you're wearing pajamas, you kind of just feel, you frumpy. Feel like bedhead.
Yeah.
But like the minute you go to a suit store and they put that suit on you and it just drapes on, you got the tie on and you got the slightly elevated dress shoes, you're just like, oh shit. Like looking a million, you just look $1 million and then you feel $1 million and there's nothing that changed about your actual appearance. You just put some things on. But now you carry yourself like maybe more professionally or more proper or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it does matter a lot, as like, because I think people downplay vanity a lot. Ah, it's so superficial, whatever. But it's like your outside dictates a lot how you feel on the inside.
Yeah, I guess it's a, I don't know why it's a topic that people kind of like want to like sweep under the rug. But it's like we all know it's an advantage.
Yeah.
Like we all know, like that's where they say sex sells, right?
Or
like,
no, it just dictates. In general, you know, when we tie Taika's hair into a ponytail on top of his head, he's already silly goose, but he's three times more silly goosey once he can see himself in the mirror. Like the outside affects your insides a lot.
Yeah. So that was one of the first tastes. The other one would be I started getting confidence when I was able to support myself. Mm. When I was able to pay for my own college, graduate college, move out of my house.
This is pre-career, just like one-off jobs here and there.
Yeah. I didn't have too many jobs. It was just like the bank job.
Yeah.
But I was excelling there so much that I was getting promoted, making decent money, live on my own, you know, still get my parents' respect and have their back. So that was a different confident booster, the more capability booster of like, oh, fuck yeah. Okay, cool. Like, you can't knock me off my block because I made this block. I chopped down the tree and I molded it. I like fucking chipped away at it. This is my shit. Mm. So no one could take that away from me. So that's a different type of confidence. But when it came into more of the business realm, something I had never done, where I'm leading people or I'm like leading initiatives or coming up with these initiatives, like that one, I was just like, what the fuck? I do not belong here. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Cause it wasn't something that, I don't know. It just felt like, I just felt lost the whole time. And I'm like, and I'm someone that needed the feedback because I'm so unsure, right? Because I was telling you the way I was raised, it was like, they're fucking ragging on you all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm like, fuck, is this okay? Like, fuck, I don't know. I need some feedback. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But the older you get, the more you're like, wait, you're not going to get this feedback. Like, you need to be your own feedback. You need to see what the standard is and see if you can, if you're even there. Kind of like your ABCDF stuff. Yeah. But I didn't know that.
And when would you say was like, bam, full blown Gio, I'm confident now?
I think it would be.
Are you still not confident?
No, I'm pretty confident now.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
How come you always want me to like whisper like sweet things to you in your ear?
When is this?
Like all the time. You're always like, can you?
When was the last time?
I'll say something and like, tell me more. But oh, you did a really good job with this. Oh, I like what you did with that. My mind, you're like, tell me more. And I'm like, no, I'm done. I'm like, no, you gotta tell me.
It's cute. I think it's cute.
Also, you don't need me to whisper
those. I don't need it anymore. I don't need it, but it's always nice. Like, who doesn't like a compliment, right? But if you didn't compliment me, I'd be like, oh, I'm doing okay.
You don't need me to just whisper those sweet things.
Yeah. Well, now I'm 39. I think I started getting my real confidence. Like, I guess it's more so in the business space, right? Because as a person, I'm pretty confident. Like, as myself, like, as who I am, like, as my morals and, like, I'm pretty confident in myself. Like, I know I'm a great person. I know I'm a trustworthy person. I know I'm like an asset to people in their life.
Yeah.
But maybe it's more so in like the business space, because it's something that was so new for me.
Yeah.
That it wasn't until maybe I was 35, 36, 37. I forgot when.
Wow.
Like recently.
So it took a minute to get confident.
Fuck yeah. Because I had this narrative of like, you don't know what you're doing. Like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, like you're just winging it all the time.
That's pretty crazy, because I'm pretty sure from the outside, you know, you probably looked confident the whole 10 years you're doing JK and barbell. People probably from the outside are like, damn, she's so confident. She's building a gym. She's doing all this.
So yeah. And I'm going like on the inside, I'm like, this. I just hope it doesn't fucking fail. I just don't know. Like, whatever I'm doing hasn't failed yet. So I'm just slightly tweaking it every time. Oh. But the whole time I was just nervous. Like when I would produce a sketch, right? And it's a little sketch, but for us, it's our bread and butter. So yeah, it is a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm producing this sketch from literally paper to the actual live filming of the product we're going to put out for the masses to see.
Yeah.
Every day, like on that, from the beginning of when it's released to me to when it goes live, that whole time I'm losing my shit. I'm so fucking self-conscious. I'm so nervous. I can't eat. Like when it, like the night before we have to shoot it, the day of the shoot, I'm like a fucking wreck. Cause I'm like, holy shit, it can all go to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I just live with high anxiety, man.
Sure do.
Yeah. But it wasn't until I started really doing, I guess, the shadow work, as people like to talk about it, and going, well, wait, where does this stem from? Like, why do I need so much outside validation? Like, why do I care about people's opinions about me? I think it's okay to care about people's opinions, but it really matters who these opinions, like what mouths they're coming out of.
Yeah.
Like if it's someone that's not in a position where you want to be, like why would it matter?
Yeah.
You know,
if their shit's all fucked up.
Yes.
It's like you're not going to take financial advice from someone who's like $5 billion in debt.
Literally.
Yeah.
Right. But even then I would still take something from that. And I think to a certain degree, it's okay. Because there's things that they might say that might trigger something else in you to make these connections for yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just started really going like, wait, what am I doing? Like, who am I? Like, what am I made out of? Like, if shit were to hit the fan, like, what am I confident that I can nail it at? And then at that point, it was like, oh, shit. Okay, this is what I'm good at.
What would you tell your, now that you're your confident self, what would you tell your, like, super not confident self? Is there any pieces of advice you would tell them if you were be able to travel back in time and meet them?
Yeah, I would be like, be a fucking better friend to yourself. Like, be like I remember boosting up a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
And like cheering them on and just being like, yo, you got this, like what the fuck, like, you know, that pep talk.
Yeah.
I just didn't have that with myself. It was the opposite,
like, you suck, you can't do this.
Yeah, like it was like dude, like, you shouldn't be here, or you shouldn't do that, or damn, that's really retarded, or that's really stupid, or that's, you know, why are you doing that? Or like, are you sure you want to do that? Like, I had to fight myself a lot. And that's when I came up with my whole, fuck it, let's do it. Like, because I just knew when I would get into my own head,
yeah,
that I had to stop it before it got too extreme to where I would talk myself out of things. So I had to just be like, as soon as I felt any inkling of like negativity coming back at me, I had to be like, fuck it, let's do it. Don't think about it. You know, so it maybe from the outside, it looked like I was very impulsive for certain things in my life.
Yeah.
But it was because I knew if I talked to myself, it was going to divert me in the wrong direction.
You know what's crazy? What you just explained, like your journey to confidence, is what a lot of gurus call the ACE method.
What's that?
So appearance, capability, expansion. Just kidding. I just made that up right now. But
flipping him off.
Why?
Because you're a shithead.
No, but I called it the ACE method.
That's fucking fast. That's really good.
You know why? Because a lot of these like mentors and gurus, the first thing they want their clients to do is get in shape. If you feel slow, you feel sluggish, you feel lazy, and you don't have that 5 a.m. initiative, that's how you're going to apply yourself to everything in life, right? Oh, your daughter's crying. You don't just get up out the bed. Like, what the hell's going on? Let's fix this. You don't have that. Let's fix this right now. You know, it's more like, then you move through life like what, 5 miles an hour, and you solve problems 5 miles an hour. And like, your house is burning down and you let half of the thing, like your dog catch on fire before you leave the house, right? So first thing is fix your appearance. You can do that quick. You can lose a lot of weight, short amount of time, and now you're a different creature. You look, you feel different, you make decisions differently. Now you build the capability. Before you're like, oh shit, I can only run a mile in 20 minutes. After you fix yourself, your joints feel good. You're like, oh shit, I'm doing like 6-7 minute miles. Cool, I learned how to build myself. Now, how do I use the same tools I just did in a short amount of time, in like 2 to 3 months, how do I expand that into other areas of my life? Business, family, hobbies, whatever. So that's why I call it the ACE method.
That's tight.
Appearance, capability, and expansion.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the key things that I learned for myself, but I just got really lucky that I learned that at a really young age.
Yeah.
Because the first time I experienced that was, I think, in martial arts. So, you know, when you're a kid and you're doing like any traditional martial art, kung fu, taekwondo, karate, whatever, it's not really about beating someone else. They're not sparring. It's about forms, right? Can you do the forms right? Does it look good? The appearance of it. So once
that's
you start,
where the A through F.
So once you start doing stuff, you're like, oh shit, that looks good. Like you could tell when someone has snap, like, oh damn, that fool moves good. Then you're like, okay, they look good. Now what's the capability? Oh shit, this guy can do a 360 kick. Oh, this guy can do a backflip or whatever. And then you get a black belt, and I got one young. I got one when I was like 10 years old. You start to understand every single thing in life has like 5 or 10 steps to get there. And you know, you're going to start a white belt at everything, and you're able to like expand and apply this.
That's cool.
To every single thing. So even with like,
that's rad.
That I think got like, I kind of had like a, you know, up and down journey, got kicked out a bunch of schools and all that stuff. And I think I got reacquainted with that entire concept once I started lifting weights seriously again. Because after high school or after boot camp, when I lost all the muscle I built, I was like 130 again. I was like, I got to build back this muscle. Started building back this muscle, started getting bigger. When I did JK, like there's almost every comment, oh, like share your workout program. Because I was like one of the only jacked like Asian dudes out there. Share your workout program, share your workout program. So I had the appearance. I felt jacked. I felt good. And then even in the commercial gyms, I'm like, oh shit, I'm like the only one deadlifting like 5 plates in here. Like I feel pretty strong. And so it was like, once again, it kind of triggered the whole thing. Like, oh shit, like you look good. Then you can move and feel good. And then how do I apply it to something else?
That's really rad.
Yeah. And then that's why I like that whole phrase, like confidence is built, and it's built by little wins.
Yeah.
Because if your confidence isn't proven, then it's delusional.
Right.
Right. It's like the guy at the bar. Oh, fuck everyone.
Yeah.
Up.
Until he fucks around and finds out.
Yeah. And then you just have some other guy that also doesn't know how to fight, throw a lucky swing, boom, and that fool's out. Right. And then so that's delusional. He thinks he can whip everyone's ass.
Yeah, not until he's really tested.
Yeah, but when you fight like a guy that's like seasoned in MMA or jiu-jitsu or whatever, like
he might not even want to fight.
They're so chill because they've been through it.
Yeah.
And I guess I learned that again also in wrestling too, because in wrestling, you see guys that look very physically intimidating. You're like, oh shit, this fool got a tattoo on his face or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, but you find out real quick what people are made of when you tap hands.
Yeah.
Because the minute you roll, you're like, oh, this guy doesn't know how to wrestle at all. Or you meet a small little dude, you're like, I'm gonna crush this motherfucker. And you're flying through the air. You're like, what the? Like, you find out real quick. So it's almost like, I don't even need my eyes. I don't need to see how badass you are. We're gonna tap hands and we're gonna figure out real quick, like, where each other is at.
Yeah.
And I think that's like where you have to build your confidence, because when you have that, like, that deep knowledge of jiu-jitsu or deep knowledge of business or deep knowledge of whatever. Like right now, like when I talk to all of my friends about business, I actually like surprise myself.
Yeah.
Because we're in the day to day of our business, you know? And like, we're always dealing with problems. And there's a lot of times you don't know if you're doing the right thing.
Right.
But when you start speaking with other people, like, oh shit, I'm actually like, almost all businesses have the same cycle. Everyone has year one problems. And, you know, then year five, everyone has like cash flow problems. Year six, everyone has HR problems. Like year seven, everyone has like, you almost go like every single business have the same cycles, almost the same yearly problems across the board.
Yeah.
It's just how well people have been able to manage that to have that exponential growth. But even people that have the exponential growth, when I talk to them, they still have those problems, just this time's bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, because you think like, oh, we're a 7-figure business. I talk to people in 9-figure businesses. They still got HR problems or whatever problems, but now it's a whole department that they have a problem with.
Yeah. Yeah, I know when I was talking it sounded like I had this like no confidence in things.
When you're younger?
Yeah, like in the beginning.
Yeah.
But it was definitely, you know, as I was listening to you speak, I was like, well, I think also being the middle child helped me a lot because it helped me be self-sustained. Like I was self-sustainable. And I think that created the biggest foundation for me to have this confidence, right? So I lacked the confidence in when it came to business, but when I started doing the better self-talk, then at that point, I started really looking back at all my victories and my wins and kind of where I started to where I am now and going, oh, shit, like, hey, chill out, bitch. Like, you're actually pretty cool.
What was crazy is recently we were in Texas and we're interviewing some like high caliber people. And one of the common things was they were all middle children. Like Tim Kennedy's a middle child. Nikki Rodriguez is a middle child. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, there's this thing about having to like maybe prove yourself or fend for yourself, where you're more independent at an early age, and you that independence transforms into, if I want this life, no one's gonna give it to me, gotta grab it for myself. Yeah. And I think the earlier someone understands that, the earlier they take control of their life instead of the life happens to them.
100%, and that's what was happening with me. But because I didn't have the positive relationship with myself,
yeah,
I wasn't highlighting those things, and I wasn't cheering those things on for myself. Because yeah, I look back at it now and I'm like, dude, that's really rad. Like, you can't move forward or succeed if you don't have a type of confidence in yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, but because at a very early age, I just knew that I had to make it happen for myself. And it was more subconscious. It wasn't like I pinpointed it and it's like, Gio, if you want this, you gotta get after it. It was literally like, okay, I don't really see that it's gonna happen for me with, you know, my parents or my brother and sister. So it's like, what do I want? Well, I guess I just have to do it. And yeah. I didn't know that that was uncommon.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought that's just the way it is.
You want something, you go for it. When you're a kid, everything's just by feeling. It's big, broad strokes. And it's not until in retrospect you like are able to articulate precisely what is happening.
Yeah, but if you can recognize that you're doing that for yourself and know that you have to make your path happen, that's when the confidence really, really comes at you really fast. Because you're just like, well, wait. This stuff can't be taken away from me, because that's true confidence now, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like the what did I say? The box that I created for myself to stand on.
Yeah.
That's what it was like, because it's like now I can really support myself and I have these tools. And that's when confidence really happened for me, when I can recognize all my little victories, because it's like you said, life doesn't happen at you. It's like you have to go out and get it. And every time you make a stride in that direction to be like, I don't like this about my life or myself, and you change it and you're able to positively change it, then that's where the confidence starts coming up.
That's one of my favorite things about Western philosophy versus Eastern philosophy. So like Eastern philosophy, there's like, and there's pros and cons to both. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but for this specific topic, Eastern philosophy, it almost feels like competition. The result of it is for legacy. So it's very like, did you win? Yes, the Kwan family now has honor, right? So it's a very like legacy-based thing. What I like about Western philosophy of competition is after we go at it, whoever wins actually doesn't get to learn very much. The right. loser gets to learn a bunch of stuff they get to improve on so they can go back and improve.
Yeah.
And then they get to come back, either the same person or a different person, go at it again. So it's, you're using competition as a way to figure out what your holes are.
Yeah.
And so you'll see that's the reason why a lot of the more Western, like not just ethnically and culturally, but even like Asian cultures that are more Western culture inclined, that have that competitive spirit, they go up because, you know, different companies will compete, Microsoft, Apple, and they outbid and they create a great product. Like every company, they compete and they create this huge good product. And that's why I really like competition. And it's not viewed as like if you come home and someone lost, it's not like, oh man, he lost. It's just more, okay, cool, what do you have to work on now? And yeah. Some of the best competitors that I meet, they don't look at it like, oh, they lost or they won. It's just more like, what were you able to learn?
I feel like that's such a new thing. I feel like that's something that, you know, our generation really started zeroing in on.
I think we brought that back. Because if you look at the old Greek stuff, the reason why they had Olympics, wrestling, and why they liked debate, they knew iron sharpens iron back in the day. Like even back in the day, like people that, like, so like the Thais, right? The Muay Thai, like guys, they adopted this Western philosophy. So they want the best. Like, they don't want, okay, this guy's the king. Let's give him, like, a bunch of fresh meat. He just whoops everyone's ass. He's not going to get any better. Like, I want to bring someone else that's going to hurt me a lot so that we can train. And I make him better. He makes me better. And then now me and this guy are leagues above everyone else because we made each other better. And you find that in almost, like, every circle, you know, whether it's, like, crypto, academia, wherever. Like, you find, like, if you can get a bunch of people that can debate, compete, and challenge the ideas, is it actually good? And then that's how you are able to build more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
That's why I'm such a big fan of, like, competitions and challenges, because, like even with, like, powerlifting or running a marathon, it's like you're doing it for yourself, and you build your own confidence for yourself. And, like, when I ran my first marathon, like, there's times in my brain I want to quit. But you actually learn stuff about yourself. You're like, yeah. Oh, fuck. You know what? Even when both of my quads and both of my hamstrings are cramping, I'm still down to keep going.
Yeah.
And you don't actually know if you have the dog in you until you're put into a dog fight.
Of course. Right.
You know? And then you're like, oh, shit, I actually do. I'm very proud of myself. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things, too. One of the key factors that helped me have real confidence in my abilities is getting into the fight. Right? Because it's like you have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations in order to find out what you're made out of.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I started really getting into more and more uncomfortable situations specific to business where I'm like, fuck, dude, like, this is so bad. Like, I don't need to be here. I don't want to feel like this. I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Like, fuck, I hate it. But little by little, you just keep chipping away at it. And you're like, oh, damn, okay, I have a better handle on this thing. Okay, everything else is fucked up. But okay, fine. At least this little pocket of this, I can put that away and I'm good. Okay, now the next pocket. And then the more you keep, like, digging away and chipping away at it, you're like, oh, damn, I have all this stuff that I'm very comfortable with that now. And that for sure was key to my newfound confidence in myself.
And what's freaking cool is seeing you follow the ACE method and seeing you how, like,
that's amazing.
Like, you smash it at business. And I can literally see, like, when you're mothering, I'm like, this is the mothering skills of a CEO.
Why?
Like, the way that you, like, structure Taika's, like, before school activities, after school activities, how he reads, the sight words, how he does chores. And even recently, you started, like, teaching about finance. You're like, okay, I'm going to give you, like, however much money every week. And then you're going to have, you choose how to use it. Spending pile, savings pile, or helping others pile. And we're going to make a balance sheet so you can keep track. Like, that's like a CEO's mind.
That's CUNY. I didn't even think about it.
You know, but that's like a CEO's mind. Like, you've been able to do it for yourself. So that you can expand it and apply it to others around, you know? Because it's like if you're like fat and lazy as a parent, how are you gonna teach your kids about
not to be that way,
you
right?
Know, it's so hard. So yeah. It's like
have to walk the walk.
Yeah. So like being able to see you do that has been really, really cool. Like I'll see you just like these little things and I'm like, oh, that's a CEO raising a son.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, but again, you know, no one else is gonna do it for you. It's like whatever it is that you want, you can have it for sure. The world is your oyster. They weren't kidding when you said that. Like anything you want, you can have it. It's just you have to be willing to put in the work. And through putting in the work and failing, learning those lessons, sharpening your tools, and then going at it again, that's what creates true confidence. And I think maybe it had to take me this long for me to really realize it. Because I felt like the other confidence that I had, yeah, it was good. But to certain degrees, it felt a little bit superficial for me.
Like which one?
Like the beauty standard one, right? One of the first ones that I had. And then moving on my own. Like that one was great, but it wasn't until I was put into more of the business mindset.
But those are baby steps to getting
for
there.
For sure. 100%. And we all need to go through stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
But knowing that I could build my own world, that is a confidence booster like no other. And you don't have to necessarily go into business to build your own world. Like you can do that within your family structure. You can do that within your own life if you're a single person and you want to remain that way, right? It's like, well, what does your circle look like? What does your home look like? What does your environment at your workplace look like? What type of work are you turning in? Like, how are you spending your free time? Like, this is still a world that you're creating.
Yeah.
Like, is it allowing you to grow and thrive and learn? Then yeah, you're pretty fucking successful and you should find a lot of confidence in that.
Yeah.
But if your world consists of like inconsistent friends and, you know, shaky foundation with your family, members, or like your finances are a little bit fucked and you're at a dead end job that you're not really happy at, and any spare time that you have, you're spending it fucking getting drunk. You know, your world is pretty fucked, and I can't really see you building a lot of confidence coming out of a space like that. So it doesn't necessarily have to apply to entrepreneurship or a business, but it's just whatever world you want to create for yourself.
Yeah, that's one of the things I look back and I'm like, damn, some kids had it figured out early.
For example?
Like, you know, like the stereotypical, like, quarterback of the football team with the 4.0, that's also ASB president.
Oh, right.
You know, I'm like, some people have been building their own worlds young, where yeah. I was probably just lost in the sauce. I don't know what the fuck was going on. I'm like, why is that person like even volunteering? I don't know. Like, what the fuck? Like, I just want to go smoke weed, you know? And you're like, and you're like, damn. I look back and I'm like, man, some people have, they knew what they wanted. They started building their world early and they're already making high school their oyster.
Yeah, you know? They probably didn't feel like they needed to survive in the beginning.
Possibly, yeah.
You know, because I think you and I felt like we needed some type of survival.
Yeah.
Where we needed to like keep our head above water to be like, okay, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And then like figure it out from there, where some of these kids, not to say they're in a super healthy environment, but at least they felt like they were in a position enough to be comfy enough to make decisions for themselves and feel like there's a type of support system.
Yeah.
Where I can't say that for myself.
Yeah. That's why I'm so happy we put Taika in so many things like when he's young.
Yeah.
Because like when he hit 7, he would have done jiu-jitsu for 3 years now, which 7 is still young, right? So I could totally see like another brand new 7-year-old, because you're barely first, second grade, and you go sign up for jiu-jitsu, and then that's like the first time and they're all intimidated. And someone who's already done it for 3 years, I could totally see Taika going, oh, don't worry, come on, I'll help you.
Yeah, that's CUNY.
And then that's how people get started so young, and they kind of already starting to make their world their oyster, like Taika's seeing, like, oh, what, that kid got 2 stripes, that kid has a gray belt. Like, he can just slowly see all these little things building.
Yeah. Yeah, it really matters the type of involvement you have with your kids. Like, I see how, and I don't know if it's because he's smart, but I assume because he feels like he's still an average kid. Like, he doesn't feel like he's like this genius.
No, he does not feel like a genius.
that came from your heart. but I can see with just my involvement and our attention with him, whether that be just to kind of play with him for 10 minutes or just do 20 minutes of reading and allowing him to read or just listening to his stories, his confidence and his ability to retain these things, I just see it growing exponentially, you know? And it makes me think, and again, that this is not me throwing any type of shade to my upbringing or my parents. I know they fucking did their best and I love them so much and I don't see any fault in what they did, but I didn't have that. You know, my mom was trying to make ends meet, so was my dad. So like I was left alone quite a bit. I wasn't necessarily a latchkey kid, but I was definitely alone a lot of the time. So I didn't have someone sitting at the table helping me with my homework. You know, it was more like, hey, did you do your homework? Good. Here, let's have dinner. Okay, get ready for bed. Let's go. You know, it was one of those things.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if I had someone there holding my hand and like, you know, okay, let's read this word. Let's work out this problem. Or hey, well, how, you know, like just giving me some type of feedback, I could see myself turning out completely different.
Yeah, that's something my uncle always talks about. So my uncle was first generation like doctor, and he said like he pretty much took like the Taiwanese MCAT like 5 times before he made it, and he had to work so fucking hard. And he goes, man, when you have a classmate and their older siblings already went to the best college or passed the Taiwanese MCAT, whatever, he goes, it's so easy for them.
Yeah.
So for him, like, that's why I think he wants all of his kids to be in the medical field, because he can.
Yeah, he can help them with that.
He can help them with that. And that's one of the things that like actually motivated me to be a high performer. Not so much even for myself to have a good life, but you can't pass on tools if like everyone loves their kid, right? Everyone loves their kid and they want the best for their kid. But how does that manifest?
Do you love
them enough to make yourself a high performer so you can pass on those tools so they can be a high performer? Or do you only love them to your comfort level where you're not willing to expand where you're at and they're just going to be?
Yeah, I don't think I don't think a lot of us would think like that in the moment.
Yeah, but from every time I hit like a hard competition or whatever, I'm like, you know what? That's really cool. Like now I can pass this piece nugget. Of information or nugget or insight onto
Tyke. The young Tykes.
Yeah. And he'll believe me.
Right.
Because it's not like my parents telling me I should be a doctor. I'm like, motherfucker, you ain't a doctor. Why are you telling me to be a doctor for? That's true. You know what I mean? Like, if my mom's like, oh, you should work for a shipping company, I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You've been working a shipping company for 20 years.
You get it.
I get it.
Yeah.
Dad telling me to be a car dealer, I'm like, oh, I should be a car dealer. That's what you do.
Yeah.
But they're telling me
to. Well, they're reasoning. I'm sure they're like, because we want you to do better than us. Obviously.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stick.
Yeah.
You know, like Tyke, we don't even tell him to work out. And he fucking loves working out because he sees us working out all the time.
That's true. Yeah, he wants big muscles, he says. Cuny guy. Yeah. Well, damn, this was some insightful stuff. I don't know if I was able to share a lot of it. I feel like I was kind of scattered all over the place.
I think it's very relatable. It's because I think most people, it seems like, you know, from a lot of the questions and comments that we get, people, they feel lost, or they feel like they're lacking confidence, and they want to go like, how can I do it? Like they want to improve and take control of their life. And I think whatever you shared is definitely going to help.
Yeah. Them. Long story short, it's normal to not have this confidence, you know, but it's on you to look at yourself and be like, what don't you like? Where do you want to be? And then work at those things. And then once you've accomplished it, it doesn't have to be big, crazy goals. But just once you've accomplished it, you're like, you need to recognize it and be like, I did that shit. And that's when the true confidence starts coming in. On that note, is there anything else you want to add, Barton?
Nope. Just want to say that if you like this podcast and you want to support everything that me and Gio do, go to barbellbrigade.com. Always dropping supplements, apparel, digital training programs. And also we have a gym in downtown LA, 646 Gibbons. Go check that out. See you guys next time.
Bye.